A secretive group has been grooming young Christian men for leadership positions in American politics for decades, all the while ingratiating itself with presidents and members of Congress of both parties, and sidling up to some dictators from around the world. It sounds outlandish, but it's a group that writer and Dartmouth Associate Professor Jeff Charlotte can attest is real. He's been studying and writing about what's known as the family for years. He published two books on the group about a decade ago, and his work has now been adapted into a 5-part documentary series. It's out this month on Netflix. And Jeff Charlotte joins me now. Jeff, thanks for speaking with me.
Hi, Henry. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So can you first say, what is this group that calls itself the Family or Fellowship?
The Family is the oldest and arguably most influential and strangely most secretive Christian conservative organization in Washington, founded in 1935 when the founder had a vision that Christianity had been getting it wrong for 2,000 years by focusing on the poor, the suffering, the down and out. He believed that God came to him and told him that his mission, his job, was to serve those whom he would come to call the up and out. And his idea was that what mattered more than the faith of the masses was bringing into the fold politicians, business leaders, military leaders, those whom he'd call key men. And through them, he could pursue his vision of a Christian nation.
And you actually lived in the family's compound for young Christian men called Ivanwald. Did you go into that experience with plans to write about it later on, as you have?
No. As we show in the series, the way it came about is I was writing another book about varieties of religious experience in the United States. I wasn't much interested in political reporting at that time. And an old acquaintance who had sort of dropped out of his life and moved to Washington to work for these politicians said, "You've got to see this. It's unlike anything he'd ever experienced," and he wanted me to experience it too. And since that was the kind of work I was doing at the time, looking for those sort of unusual religious communities, I went. I had no idea it was political until pretty quickly I got there. I saw the vast wealth, and I started meeting politicians, Senator John Ensign, Congressman Todd Tehart, the ambassadors, a former Attorney General Ed Meese. And I saw that this was both a religious and political phenomenon.
And so Doug Coe, the longtime leader of this organization, he emphasized making connections with people in power here in the United States, but also abroad, including some pretty unsavory characters, Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, for example. Beyond amassing those relationships with powerful people, does the organization, the Family, have an ultimate goal?
Yeah, they describe it as God-led government. Their goal in their own documents is 200 world leaders connected invisibly. And they have a great dedication to sort of remaining under the radar. Doug Coe says the more invisible you can make your organization, the more influence it will have. And in fact, at one point, they considered registering as a lobbying group, which in effect is what they are. And they decided not to, according to their own correspondence, because that would limit their influence, which is, in fact, exactly why we have lobbying laws.
You know, the series, particularly, I think, in its stylistic choices, seems to emphasize the family almost as bordering on a cult of sorts. Is the family a cult?
I don't use that term, and I think in religious studies a term that's more preferred, it's a little bit more neutral, is new religious movement. It's on the local level that you sort of see a level of control, and even since the series went live on Netflix, I've been hearing from any number of former members who are telling stories, especially people in relationships, people who are pressured. They were part of the family. They believed in this work, but their romantic partner, spouse, whatever, often a woman. These are men who are saying, you know, I was told that my fiance was a harlot, a Jezebel, and that I had to abandon her. That element of control is certainly spiritually abusive. I don't like the term cult, but there is you take the secrecy, you take the wildly unorthodox theology, that idea about Christianity being for the up and out, not the down and out. You won't find that in many churches. The language that they use, again and again, we see in the series, he says a good metaphor for understanding who Jesus was to look at the strong men of history. He says Hitler, Lenin, Mao, those are his words. These are unorthodox ideas, to say the least. They are not the Christianity that almost any Christian listening knows. It sets it apart in the spectrum of American religious life.
The series focuses on a few politicians who've been involved in the family over the years, including Mark Sanford, the one-time governor of South Carolina, John Ensign, a senator of Nevada. Both of those instances are about a decade old at this point, some of the stories that are told in this series. Does the family still have influence and power in Washington?
I'd love to say no, that my reporting, you know, we brought sunlight on it, but the fact is they have more power now than ever. I ended my 2010 book, C Street. I don't make a lot of political predictions, but I said, okay, Senator Ensign, Governor Sanford, those guys, their White House ambitions are done. But maybe in 2016, it'll be a little-known Indiana congressman named Mike Pence going to the White House. Well, it was pretty close. Mike Pence, who had been involved with the family, had worked with Jeff Sessions, another member, on international deals in Sri Lanka for the family. And now here he is. And what Trump has, you know, Trump, who is not a religious person himself, but nonetheless has been embraced by the family in terms that are kind of chilling. Doug Coe tells a parable of, he says, you know, everyone thinks that Christ came to minister to the sheep, but what about the wolves? Who's taking care of the wolves? We are called by God to seek out what he would call the Wolf King. And you go to the Wolf King and you present his power. So in Coe's parable, which was used in a best-selling pro-Trump book, Trump is the Wolf King. And it's a deal. It's a transactional deal. Trump is not a believer, but he's been willing to give tremendous amount of power to Mike Pence, to other Christian right figures in the government, such that the Christian right now is saying Trump is the best president they've ever had, better than Reagan, better than George W. Bush. They turned out in bigger numbers for him in 2016. And by all indicators, it looks like it's going to be an even bigger turnout in 2020. It's the consolidation of many strands of conservative power and of Christian right power, and the family's right at the heart of that.
Jeff Charlotte is an associate professor of English and creative writing at Dartmouth College. The documentary series based on his work is called The Family. It's out now on Netflix. Jeff, thanks for speaking with me.
Thanks very much, Henry.